Before today's message, I'd like to share something very close to my heart. My dad, Pastor Salem's life is a remarkable testimony of God's faithfulness and grace. In his film, Heart of a Shepherd, you'll experience an extraordinary story, one that beautifully illustrates what God can do when just one person accepts his call. It's a heartwarming and inspiring journey of obedience, perseverance, and a deep love for God's people. Through my dad's life and ministry, generations have been encouraged by messages of joy, hope, and truth. His story is about a willing heart, faithfully following wherever God leads. If you'd like to experience Heart of a Shepherd for yourself, you can receive your copy by calling the Christian Worship Hour, writing to us, or visiting our website at cwh.org. And that same shepherd's heart is reflected in the message you're about to hear today. Today's sermon is titled, The Uplifting Christ, based on some of the most beautiful and powerful words in all of Scripture found in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. These words point us to the hope of the cross, the love of our Savior, and the drawing power of Christ alone. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I say over and over and over, for over 40 years, I am so happy to be here today and to get to share the Word of God with you. And it is my earnest prayer, and I know of all of the team, that if you don't know Jesus, you'll come to accept Jesus. Or if you're maybe you are a Christian and you're going through some hard times, you don't know which way to turn. Maybe you're a young person, and I had a young man tell me, talking about what is he going to do in life. He's trying to think of his profession. And then we have people at our shut-ins, and oh, there's so many of God's people. And you know, God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Well, that's the Christian Worship Hour. That's our aim. And by the grace of God, we're going to do it. So we're going to look at Psalm 71 today, where the psalmist writes, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you for being our trust from our youth up. 10 years old when I accepted you, Lord. Now I'm 97. And here you are, always with me, always helping me. And someday I'm going to see you, and we're all going to see if we have Jesus. So, dear Lord, in this service, if there are those that don't know you, I pray that this will be the day they'll say, pray and say, Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, for they're many, and I'll follow you the best I can. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Jan's going to sing for us, Walking in the Sunlight. God bless you, Jan.
Heavenly
Well, God bless you, Jan. And I guess I have to ask, is Jesus yours? He's mine. Well, you say, I want him too, but I don't know what to do. Well, you just talk to him and you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to please come into my heart and wash them away, take them away. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I had a man pray that, and he'd never prayed. I don't think he ever prayed. And I explained the whole thing about him several times, about Jesus. And then one day he prayed, and that's what he prayed, something like that, asking Jesus, just come into my heart, dear Jesus, and take away my sins. And then he closed, and he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. Well, who cares? God looked into your heart. And that man, you know, he's with the Lord now. He didn't live long after that. He's gone. And now he's in the presence of the Lord, and he's shouting and singing with Jesus. And that's what we do. And I'm going to tell you, when you have Jesus, it puts a step. Just here, every step you take is lighter and brighter. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles and trials, because that's Jesus said. Jesus says in this tribulation, he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. John 16, 22 or 32. And so when you have Jesus, makes all the difference. Going to go through the valleys, going to have the troubles and trials. Believe me, Jesus had them. The disciples all had them. They say that all the disciples died. He were put to death, a violent death, except John, that maybe John lived, died a normal death. But you have joy. And it's a joy that Jesus gives, and nobody can take it away. So just stay with us. Oh, I have a wonderful sermon today. And I just love to preach this scripture where Jesus says, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Just stay with us and call your friends. Tell them, I think the old boy's got a better sermon today for a change. And tune in and see what you think. But we have to share some of these letters. And we get one here from Pueblo West in Colorado. And they say, we have enjoyed your DVD, Heart of a Shepherd, so much. And we'd like to send one to each of our 5 children. We recently lost our precious daughter. She would have also enjoyed it, but she is rejoicing with Jesus now. Hallelujah and thank you. And so the main dream of this, the main hope of this film is to help people come to know Jesus. And so here's a family, and their family is the family of God. And this, their family, their biological family, is some in heaven, some on earth. And that's the way it is with the family of God. I have people, part of my family's in heaven, part of my family's on earth. That's what Paul talked about. He said in Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So part of the family of God is in heaven, part of the family of God is on earth, but someday the trumpet's going to sound, time will be no more. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the time will come when time will be no more and we'll be in eternity. Oh, I could preach a whole sermon on it. But I'm reading letters, so forget that. Here's Fargo, North Dakota. My father-in-law did not go to church, but he loved to listen to the Christian worship hour. Thank you for your ministry. We hope that we will meet him in heaven. Well, all right. Now, if your father watched the Christian worship hour, I know one thing. I know he knew the way of salvation. And my guess would be that one of those nights when he was alone and he was thinking about it, he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And I'll just bet that he just did that. I know one thing. We'll leave it with the Father in heaven and then he'll do the right thing. Let's see. Lamar's, Iowa. I'm writing on behalf of my father. Thank you for the joy you have brought into my dad's and many other people's lives. God bless you. And I'll tell you why I can bring some joy there, because I'm using the Bible. And you know what it says? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah says that. So we preach the word of God, and that's where the power is, and that's where the authority is, and that's where the healing is, that's where the help is. And that, boy, that gives us joy and happiness, and it gives you a peace that the world can't take away. Now, I'm not one of these guys that says, you know, if you trust Jesus, you'll get rich. Because you know why I don't believe that? Because it isn't in the Bible. It isn't in the Bible. We have these guys making up all these stories. You're going to, if you, boy, you know, if you just do certain things, accept Jesus, and then you just have to do their things and trust him and everything. And if you're really in his will, you'll always find a place to park right in front of the donut shop, and everything will be just perfect. Well, Jesus says, didn't he? In this world, you have tribulation. Give good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he'll give you that joy. He may not give you riches, but he'll give you joy. And then we have one here. Let's see. This is Spring Hill, Kansas. I love everyone at the Christian Worship Hour. I never miss an episode. Being disabled, I feel as if I'm going to church. Thank you for all the blessings and prayers. And so we get tons and tons of letters from people that can't get out and they can't get around anymore. But they're part of the family of God. And when we worship together, you know, God is just as close to them as he is to us. Maybe closer to them. People on beds of sickness, people that are shut-ins, and young people trying to find their way in life. I just pray for them and the children, the blessed children. They can accept Jesus. I accepted Jesus when I was 9 years old. My little daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5, and now she's a grandma. She still has Jesus because walking with the Lord. Oh, it's the only way to live. Let's see. Here's Winterset, Iowa. My husband passed away from cancer last August. After 60 years of marriage, the adjustment has been hard. But I take comfort in knowing that he has taken the road less traveled to a place where I can join him someday. I was told at his funeral that his last breath on earth was immediately followed by his next breath in heaven. Recently, my peace was shattered when I was informed that it wasn't true. The death was just a body in a grave until a later event. I wished I knew what the Bible said, and I prayed for peace. Then yesterday, being snowed in and unable to go to church, I turned on the computer to Christian Worship Hour. I truly believe that God led me to click on all sermons, where I pulled up the sermon regarding Luke 16, which answers all my questions and restored my peace. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you and your entire staff. And that's exactly right. When you, I'm going to tell you, you're so close to heaven. Heaven isn't a million miles away. It's one breath away. You drink our last breath here, and your next breath, you're in heaven. You remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, and he was there because he was an outlaw, the worst kind. And he believed in Jesus. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. We don't know for sure who went to heaven and does because we don't know their heart. Jesus knew his heart, and he says, today, you started on the cross today, and you're going to be in heaven at the throne of grace rejoicing today, today. And Paul writes, and he says, absent from the body, the minute I'm absent from this body, I'm at home with the Lord. You bet. When these people says you're in the grave, that's a cult. That's a cult. Steer clear of those birds. They're up to no good. Here, let's see, Springfield, Missouri. This is from a pastor, Pastor Paul Calthorpe. You and your broadcast have connected with several people in my congregation. I'll soon celebrate my 80th birthday. Been preaching the gospel 62 years. Had been pastor of Broadway Bible Church 28 years. I'm trusting God to supply the health and strength to continue preaching and pastoring for many more years. Well, God bless you, Brother Paul. That is exactly right. And then he goes on and he says, Broadway Bible Church is a small group of faithful Christians. Every month we choose a ministry or mission to receive the voluntary contributions that are placed in the mission offerings box. This request of some who regularly watch your through the request of some who regularly watch your broadcast, the Christian Worship Hour was chosen to receive the offering for the month of June. So isn't that nice? Sometimes we do have churches that are praying for us, and we just need prayers. We need everybody's prayers. And if we have the prayers and we get the gifts, we'll get the workers, we get everything. Just if people pray, just pray. So congratulations, Pastor Calthorpe, 62 years preaching in the Bible Church, Broadway Bible Church. I got a typo here. I read it three times and it didn't change. It's still a typo, but it's the Broadway Bible Church. One more I want to share with South Sioux City, Iowa. I enjoy your letters you share with us. It's nice to hear from other Christians. I enjoy your emphasis on Jesus' sermons. Your mother did a good job of you. Bless her. Oh, my God, bless my mother. Oh, did she work on me? And I tell you, but she believed in me. And I was kept from doing a lot of sinful things. Now, I wasn't perfect. I had my share. But I really could have got bad. But I always thought, I don't want to let my mother down. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about my mother. She believed in me. I wasn't going to let her down. And I did some, but I didn't do as much as I might have been. And when I read of people talking about their mother like that, I really think about Abraham Lincoln. He says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Boy, there's a lot of them that can say that. And some of them say dad, but so many say mother. God bless you. Well, we just want to thank you all for your letters, and thank you for writing, and thank you for helping us, and thank you for sending gifts, because we got to pay our way just like anybody else. So if you'd like to help us in this work, you write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box number is 2002. Box 2002, we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, wonderful place. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here you can work a miracle. You like to work miracles? Well, here you can work a miracle. You get on the christianworshiphour.com. And on there, they'll say donate. And you punch that little button, donate. And then you can send wherever you are. We get from Norway, from the Philippines and so on. And you can put down whatever you're going to give to us. And you put in your currency, and they'll send the United States and American money, and we'll pay our bills. The Christian Worship Hour is now for over 40 years, and God has always provided. We're not underwritten by any organization, any corporation, or anything like that. Just God's people, but that's enough. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, if I send that old boy money, he'll spend it riotously. He looks like the riotous kind. And I don't know about that. Well, we've got a board of directors and watching everything, but this is what we've got. We're a member of the international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year, and they go in it like a fine-tooth comb. And they account for every penny we get and every penny we spend. And while you're writing, you maybe like to have our little booklet. We have a little Bible study, and it's called The New Song, The New Song. And so you can ask for that. And then if you'd like to have the Heart of a Shepherd, you can write for that. And if you can send a gift, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll send it free and postpaid. And there it is. Here's again, the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now Jan's going to pray. I'm going to pray. John and Jan's going to play. And you pay as God lays on your heart. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for all of those that you're speaking to and the gifts that carry us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. You help us out so much and as we worship the Lord, and you give us that all that background and just sets the tone for everything. Well, we're reading from Gospel John chapter 12 today, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the 12th chapter and the 23rd verse. And Jesus is talking to his disciples now, and he's just about ready to go to the cross. He'll have to go through the courts, and he'll have to be scourged, and he'll have to be shamed, and he'll have to be ridiculed, and they'll spit on him, and they'll tear out his beard, and oh, God, have mercy. And then he'll go to that cross. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. If you would have been the only person in the world, he'd have done it for you. And that's how important you are to him. That's why I hope you'll open your heart to him and take him in. That's the smartest thing you could ever do. John chapter 12, Jesus speaking, 23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is a judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And this is what Jesus said. And this is what we want to look at so carefully today. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. So we're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Jordan. So, dear Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It was all for us. You sure didn't have any sins of your own. You're the only perfect person that ever lived. You didn't have a spot or a wrinkle in any way. And so you're going through all of this because you loved us, and you love us now. And, dear Lord, we thank you, as the writer of James tells us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, you were glad to do it for us. And now we're glad to serve you, to accept you and serve you. And in the persecuted church we're in Jordan, Lord, some of them are giving their life for you, and some are homeless, and some are destitute. Some loses their home, and their churches are torn down, and they're having a hard time of it. But they love you, and you love them. And if we lose our life, we'll find it in another world, in a better world. Help them to know, Lord, that we appreciate them and that we are better Christians because of their life and their testimony. They sure helped me, I know. And so, Lord, now as we continue in this service, may we see Jesus. And as he's told us that how he was lifted up on a cross and he would draw all men all over the world, all the people of the world, he'll call them to come to him. And we pray that he, as he calls today, he's going to do it in this message as we preach. I pray multitudes will open their heart to Jesus. Come to Jesus. We pray it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now before the message, Hank, faithful Hank, God bless you, Hank. And you're going to sing, I guess that's what it is. I count on him. God bless you.
When everything is going good, I count on him. When I'm living the way I should, I count on him. Through the good times and the bad, when I'm happy or I'm sad. I am so glad I can count on Him. When true friends just can't be found, I count on Him.
Count on Him.
When trouble is all around, I count on Him.
Count on Him.
I know Jesus really cares, and I know He's always there. Anytime, anywhere, I count on Him.
Count on Him.
There are many seasons of life that change like the wind, but Jesus is always the same. He's my Master, Savior, and friend. When the world is closing in on me, I count on Him. When life is like a raging sea, I count on Him. He can do what no one can do, and turn my dark skies blue. I know His love is true, and I count on Him. He can do what no one can do, and turn my dark skies blue. I know His love is true, and I count on Him.
Thanks, Hank. Isn't that beautiful? We can count on Jesus, whether we're up or we're down, or in or we're out. And always great to hear Hank sing. And by the way, Hank has a lot of CDs. And you get us, you look on the ChristianWorshipHour.com and you'll see a list of them. Or you write to us at our box 2002 and we'll see that he gets the letter, and you can have some wonderful singing by Hank Bowker. A dear brother. Well, we're looking at something here about the uplifting Christ. And I think this, to me, is some of the most beautiful words of the whole Bible, where Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he would die. Jesus telling us he's going to die on a cross to pay for our sins. And then he is going to draw all of the world to Him. If we respond to that call, if we respond to that calling, we can have eternal life, we can have heaven. If we reject that calling, we'll find our place in hell. That's what Jesus told us. And I think of it how wonderful it is that He made us as free moral agents. We can choose. Then some people teach, oh, you're destined for this or that, and you don't have a thing to say about it. Well, here Jesus says, I'm talking all the men. Nobody's destined in the world at all. He says, I'm talking to all the people of the world, and I'm drawing them, all the people of the world, and they have to open their heart to me. They have to come. And you say, well, I want to come right now. I don't even want to hear your sermon. I want Jesus right now. This is what you do, because He's calling you, and you just something, and you say, I just want Jesus. I'm got to have Jesus. And you just say, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. and I'll follow you the best I can. Turn from your sins, follow you, and thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, he'll be in your heart. He's calling you, but you have to answer. He puts it that way. For instance, he says in Revelation, he says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come into your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and ask me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with him, fellowship with him with me." I did that 88 years ago, 10-year-old boy, and that's exactly what I prayed, those words. And I didn't see bells and lights or anything else, but the next day, I just knew that Jesus was there. I just felt so happy. And so that's what he's making this great call. That's what we're thinking. When Jesus came, this wonderful Lord comes. And just stop and think who Jesus is. This wonderful Jesus, he is the Son of God. And not only is the Son of God, he is God. He is God Almighty. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. Listen to what John tells us in John 1, verses 1 to 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This could be paraphrased like the New Living Bible has it, and like this: "Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives us light to all men. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out or extinguish it." So wonderful, Jesus. But while Jesus Christ was God, he was also man. He was God-man. He was unique. There's never been one like him before, and there'll never be another one again. And I might read it too. I might add too that Jesus is not just some figment of our imagination. He's not some mythical character out of the past. He's not a fairy tale figure. He is an historical person. There's a great scholar who wrote about Wilbur M. Smith, and he wrote about Jesus. This is what he said. He comments on it and says, "One thing is for sure, and that is that Jesus of Nazareth belongs to the realm of history. No, we know when he lived between 5 and 6 B.C. to 30 to 32 A.D., between those parentheses. We know where he was born, in Bethlehem, a real town, not some mythological cloud. We know where he spent most of the years of his life, in Nazareth, far north in Galilee, where he worked as a carpenter. We know many of the characters of this day from literature apart from the New Testament, for the names of Herod the Great, his son Herod Agrippa, Pontius Pilate, Tiberius Caesar, Felix, and Festus, and so forth, are found in many of the secular writings of the first century as well as in the New Testament. Every history of the ancient world embracing the first century of this area is compelled to say something about Jesus Christ. Every encyclopedia published in the Western world must record the fact that Jesus lived. And though H.G. Wells had an utter contempt for Christ, in fact, he hated him, and for all the articles of the Christian faith, he nevertheless is compelled to give scores of lines to Jesus of Nazareth in his outline of history. The very dates we use, listen to this, the very dates we use, designated by the letters A.D. and B.C., bear testimony to the fact that one Jesus Christ once walked this earth. For all you cannot today name any event of ancient Babylonia, Greece, or Rome and try to tell men what happened without bearing testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ lived. Every newspaper, every court document, every letter, every monument that carries a date, say of 2019, all add their testimony to the reality of the historic Christ. My dear friend, there can be no doubt that Jesus Christ was both God and man. And furthermore, Jesus Christ was the most remarkable person who ever lived. An anonymous writer, author has written this comparison. He says, Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50 years, Aristotle for 40 years. Jesus taught for only 3 years. And yet all of their writings are in antiquity, and Jesus' writings are fresh and new every day. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year mystery infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 years of teaching from the men who were among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures, yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by Jesus. Jesus composed no music. Still Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, and Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymns and symphonies and oratorios composed in his praise, praising Jesus. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter of Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of men is the salvation of the soul. Philosophy could not accomplish that, nor art, nor literature, nor music. Only Jesus can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace to the world heart, to human hearts, speak and strengthen the weak, giving life to those who are spiritually dead. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he becomes the light of the world. He becomes the hope of the world. Better than that, he becomes the only hope of the world. It is God's will that all people come to Jesus, the hope of the world. He has explicitly stated that then all of people can come to him and be saved if they want to. Peter wrote in the second epistle, 3rd chapter in the 9th verse, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people count slowness. He is patient with everyone to come to repentance, and he wants all to come to repentance. That is, come to Jesus, and repentance means turn from your evil ways, turn from your old ways, and walk with Jesus. And you're never going to be perfect, and you're going to fail over and over. I know from experience. I fail every day, and I ask Jesus to forgive me so that I have that wonderful fellowship. But when I fail, it doesn't mean I lose my salvation, because I'll be his son of God, his child of God forever, because I am his son. And that will never change. And you can have the same thing, the same thing. 10 years old, I didn't understand anything except that I knew I had sins. And I know the Holy Spirit was telling me, you're a sinner and you need Jesus. And my mother taught me all about Jesus. I knew Jesus so well that for the first time I ever heard the invitation, I went forward and accepted Jesus, that wonderful Savior. And so Jesus says, now, I will draw, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth. And he's talking about the cross, being lifted up on the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I will draw, Jesus declared. And there is something about Jesus that is so wonderful and so marvelous that this wonderful Savior will pray, bring you, take you to himself. And he'll give you strength, and he'll give you help, and he'll give you divine direction. Day by day, he'll help us along the way. I will draw all men by his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus, in some way, in some wonderful, marvelous way, draws people to himself. When he died on the cross, he displaced the first Adam, and he becomes a substitute for Adam. And now, as this second Adam, this wonderful Savior, is right now all over the world while I'm preaching, I know that he's speaking to hearts. And there's something saying, you're not a voice, you don't hear voices and see lights and all of that. But they're just saying, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. That's it. He's drawing you, drawing him to himself. And he died for you. He died for all. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one died for all, therefore all died. Died for the whole world. In John 4, 42, he's spoken of as a savior of the world. This title belongs to him. And it doesn't mean that although all the world is savior, but he's the world's savior. And all the world can come if they will. And if you don't come, and nobody can stop you, because it's just between you and God, and you need to come and be with that wonderful, wonderful savior. 1 Timothy 4:10, he's talked about the savior of all men, of those who believe. The Savior means John the Baptist, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world, all of the world. 1 John 2:2, he set apart as the propitiation for the world. And that propitiation means he pays for all of our sins. And sometimes people come and they'll say, oh, I have such terrible sins. I hear it over and over. I've been preaching almost now 75 years, and I've seen a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people come to Jesus, and I've seen a lot of them turn away. And I always pray that they'll come back. Just if you maybe turn him down, and you did, you say, oh, I turned him down, and he'll have no part with me. If you turn him down 100 times, and now you feel you want to come, you come. It's all in your court. It's all your decision. And this wonderful Jesus tells us in John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but all the world through him might be saved. And so no matter what your sins may be, Jesus Christ will pay for your sins with his own blood. And God tells us in Isaiah, come now, come to Jesus. Come now, saith the God, the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like wool, they shall be as wool. And that wool, you know, you see a sheep, it's all dirty and it has briars in it, this wool and all that. But when that sheep is shorn, and next to the body of that sheep, there's a beautiful lanolin. And I've seen it because I used to tie wool for sheep shearers. And that rolls back. And that lamb, that sheep, is just as white and clean. And that wool is just as clean and beautiful as you can imagine. So God says, you know, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. They shall be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Beautiful wool, and glistening in the white. And that will come, I don't care what your sins might be. Without exception, just come to him and he will draw you. And right now, I know all over the world, you're saying, yes, I want Jesus. Yes, he's speaking to me and I want to come. And when you think about it, when Jesus was here, he did a lot of drawing. For instance, before his death, he stood by the bedside of a daughter of Jairus and he drew her back from her spirit, back from that other world into this world. Or when he was at the funeral bier of the son of the widow of Nain and drew back that son's spirit from another world to this world. And when he walked among people, he was always drawing and bringing people to himself, bringing people to Jesus. In the Old Testament, you see that drawing. Even before God, when he went to the cross, he had drawing people. Before the incarnation, there was a drawing power of God. For instance, for Abel, he drew Abel, the first martyr, from the field of blood. He drew Enoch from the slush and slime of antediluvian sin to continue his walk with God in the pathways of paradise. He drew Abraham from his native land and to go into a new land, the land of promise. He drew Moses out of the Nile River in that valley of death where he might have been drawn, and his name means drawn out. And he drew that through the Pharaoh, instrumentality of Pharaoh's daughter, drew him out of the Nile River. And Gideon in the wine press, he was the threshing wheat, he drew him into his service. And from David, who cared for his sheep, his father's sheep out in the mountains, he drew him to become the king of Israel and become one of Israel, if not Israel's greatest king. Oh, my friends, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And he talks to us and he whispers in our ear and he says, I need you and I want you to come. I love you. And you say, I don't know why you would love me. And I don't know either why he'd love me. I don't know. Some people say, why did God pick Judas to be his disciple when he knew he was going to betray him? I don't know. But I know a question bigger than that. Why did he draw me? Why did he pick me? But he wants you to come and he wants the whole world to come. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And that but those who receive him can find everlasting life. You see, we at the incarnation of Jesus, we see the drawing of Jesus. He drew the simple shepherds from the adjacent plains to the manger. He drew the wise men from the east, and they made that long trip to Jerusalem and Bethlehem to worship him. He drew Simeon and Anna in the temple. And when a boy, he just drew the rabbis to Jesus, and he asked them questions they couldn't understand, and they marveled at his wisdom because he was the Son of God. He drew the 12 apostles. He drew the 70 disciples. He drew the thousands by the Sea of Galilee. He drew the reputable Joseph of Arimathea to come and take care of that body. Always that great drawing power of Jesus Christ. We can't understand it. We can't believe it, but we know it is true and we do believe it, but we can never explain it. And don't try to explain God. Don't try to explain the Trinity, for instance. It's God. You can't do it. You take it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, and then the Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, and after he was bent to the tree and died on the cross, he's still drawing people. And there he is. He's lifted up on the tree, lifted up on the cross. And from that cross, he draws that thief on the cross. That man, and I tell you, they couldn't crucify anybody unless they were the worst of the worst. You weren't crucified for some little sin, some little thing, breaking the law. You had to be a terrible, horrible man. And this man is on that cross. And then but he had faith, and he said, he will make me a part of your, let me be a part of your kingdom. And there's Jesus. Jesus is crucified. Jesus is dying. Jesus is nailed to a cross, just like that thief is crossed. But he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's saying, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And as he dies, he has that faith and that belief. And he's got, Jesus tells him, I'll draw you and I'm bringing you and you're coming now. And I'm here today. You'll be with me in paradise. He drew 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. And he drew 5,000 people the next day. He drew to himself Pharisees and priests. He drew to him Stephen and Philip. He drew to himself Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles. And all the way along the right, when you read, I will draw all men unto me, unto Jesus. The only way to heaven is Jesus. Not the church, not the creeds, not the rituals, not some vain philosophy of life, not doing a lot of works and all of that, but I'm drawing you to a person who has died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And the scriptures tell us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it couldn't be the blood of another man because we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. But Jesus comes and he's God and he's man. We sinned against God. That's why you can't have a dog and have a dog die for my sins. That's impossible. And so I can't die for anybody else's sins because my sin is against God. And God in Jesus, Jesus who is God and man, comes. And Jesus as a man dies on the cross. He doesn't die as God because God can't die. And the third day he's raised from the grave. So this one, Jesus Christ, he was crucified. He was buried. He was risen from the grave. And I'm here to tell you today that 88 years ago, Jesus drew me. And I tell you how it happened. I was just a boy. We had a country school. We had an evangelist, Vernon Eggebrotten, 6 feet tall, came in there and preached a simple gospel. And that was it. And then he said, those who would like to accept Jesus, you just come in here and we'll pray with you. And I knew I wanted to go. Oh, that's what's happening today all over the world. He's calling you. And now you need to respond. And you say, Jesus, I want to come. I'm coming to you. I'm answering that call, Jesus. And I want to, and I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry for that sin. And I'll turn from my sin. Jesus taught repentance. That means turning. So, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And dear Lord, I'll serve you best I can. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you'll pray that. And then if you write to us, we'll send you some literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send gifts that way. And then if you'd like to have our little book, our little Bible study, and it's about the resurrection, about Job, and how he says, I know my Redeemer lives. How did he know that? What did he say? That's our Bible study for the month of April. And you just ask for our Bible study. Or you ask for our little paper. We have a little paper, the new song. Write for the new song. We'll send that. Or if you'd like to have some of the films, A Heart of a Shepherd, you write and ask for that. We'd be glad to send that to you. And you can, if you have, send a gift, that's fine. If you don't have anything, we'll send it anyway. And we'll do that because we love you. So let's just close with a prayer now. Dear Jesus in heaven, thank you for going to the cross, the old rugged cross. Thank you for dying for our sins. We didn't deserve us, but you did. And now, Lord, you're raised from the grave, and we're coming to you all over the world. People are praying that simple prayer. And our angels in heaven are rejoicing because of that wonderful prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And so now we want to just thank you. All know that we pray for you all the time. We have you on our heart. We answer as many letters as we can. We pray for our people of the world, and we're praying for the lost. They'll come to Jesus. And then there's something you need to know. And don't forget, God loves you. And if you ever doubted, just look, would you give your son to die on a cross for your enemies? I know I wouldn't, but God knew his son was going to die and die for those who rebelled against him and were enemies of God. And so you just come to Jesus and then trust him. And just remember that God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And all we're going for over 40 years now. And we're doing it because we want to see you in heaven. And I want to tell you, I love you the best way I know how. And I want to see you in heaven. I want to see your face. I want to talk with you. I want to shake your hand. I want to stand by your side as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the one who came and washed us clean with his own blood, the blood of the Lamb. And we'll all worship him, the multitudes of the saved, the multitudes of the redeemed. I'm going to be one, and you're going to be one if you just take Jesus. Got to have Jesus. So we're just praying for you, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week. Next week, we're going to have a special sermon. God bless you as you prepare it and bring it next week.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.